It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Neil Charnoff. VPR's Art Hounds will be along in just a few minutes, but first, it's our weekly conversation on the arts. A new book by Guilford author Michael Nethercott combines ghostly storytelling and traditional drawing room mystery. The Seance Society follows an unlikely detective duo as they're enlisted to solve a murder within a group of ghost seekers. Eccentric characters and a 1950s setting call to mind both Sherlock Holmes and the novels of Agatha Christie. Michael Nethercott will be reading from the book and sharing ghost stories at this weekend's Brattleboro Literary Festival. Nethercott joins us from studios in Brattleboro. Welcome.
Hello, Neil.
So the Seance Society follows a pair of private eyes who first appeared in a series of short stories. Tell us about these two.
Well, Mr. O'Nelligan is an Irish-born immigrant. He's in his early 60s, and he's very erudite. He likes to quote William Butler Yeats and Shakespeare and other bards and passages from literature. He's a pretty compassionate fellow, but when he's on a case, he latches on with bulldog enthusiasm. Lee is the official private eye of the case. He is a second-generation private eye. His father before him was much more of a rough-and-tumble, classic, noir kind of guy. And Lee does not have that skill set, so he depends quite a bit on Mr. O'Nelligan to guide him through the cases.
The book has a somewhat retro feel and is, in fact, set in 1956. Why did you choose to write in this era?
Well, to be honest, one of the reasons I chose was because I didn't want to have to keep calling up my kids to ask them every time I made a reference to the internet or cell phone usage. And I realized, in especially a book like this, which has kind of a shadowy, you know, semi-gothic feel to it, that you've got a character, he's in a house, there's something spooky going on, and now, these days, you just whip out your cell phone and call a friend. So I wanted to kind of step beyond all that. So I said in 1956, where things are a little more simple and lend themselves perhaps to more supernatural meanderings.
Where does your interest in ghostly storytelling come from?
Well, I've always had it, and I think in part because I grew up in this large, sprawling Irish family on both sides, but specifically on my maternal side, where both of my maternal grandparents were off the boat from County Kerry. And, you know, growing up, the cousins, we'd always hear these sort of whispers of tales. And then when I was older, I would get the stories full blown. Oh, things like when my mother's family moved into a house in New York. The kids were told by their mom, if you see a little girl who's standing on the steps there, don't speak to her because she's not of this world anymore. Stories like an uncle of mine seeing eyes staring at him from the darkness and then feeling himself being entrapped by this some sort of dark spirit, and then his aunt, his godmother, appearing, who'd been dead for 2 or 3 years and protecting him. So there was a lot of these sort of twitchy, chilly tales that I'd heard growing up. So I think that they became part of my mythology in a way, and they found their way into this book.
Where do you think our fascination with ghost stories comes from? Why do they make such a great topic for storytelling?
I think because they're the other. Whatever our views of the afterlife or religious views might be, we really don't know what exactly happens once we leave this mortal coil. There's one point in the story where Lee and Plunkett, a lot of the tale takes place in Connecticut, but at one point they pursue a suspect up to the woods of Vermont, and Lee gets lost in a snowstorm in the woods, and he just has this moment where he realizes he feels like a ghost in a way, and he says, wasn't I in truth just a ghost waiting to be born, weren't we all? And I think that's, you know, maybe that's part of the fascination that on one level, if we stop and think about it, like, oh, I don't know if I'd want to see a ghost. I don't know if I'd want to walk around this corner and suddenly see this being from 80 years ago standing there. But if you really wrap around it, you realize, well, I'll be that ghost someday, figuratively or otherwise.
Now, storytelling is really enjoying a resurgence, thanks in part to programs such as The Moth. Do you find a difference between the stories that you tell aloud and writing stories for the page?
Yeah, sure. when you're writing, or at least when I'm writing, I'm carving more. I'm a very slow writer. I don't whip out different versions. I really move along very precisely, if you will. And yeah, there's a lot of just carving and hacking and moving through the landscape of the tale until I get it right in order. When I'm storytelling, there's some of that, but you know, it's a little more free form. You can embellish. You can go off on a flourish about something. I mean, think of Garrison Keillor. You know, he'll start at point A and half hour later end up at point B with many side roads along the way. So there's a little more fluidity, I think, when you're doing oral storytelling.
Michael Nethercott is the author of The Seance Society, published by St. Martin's Press. Nethercott will be appearing at Mystery on Main Street in Brattleboro Saturday at 1. You'll find more information at bpr.net. Michael Nethercott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Neil.